you can get the worst exercise for planche, but if you know how to progress or the overload, you will get the planche faster than someone doing the most effective exercises, but without progressing the overload.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by GoNation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is the young calisthenics beast from Great Britain, somebody that I looked forward to interview, an incredibly strong athlete in statics, in muscle-ups, in weighted, in reps in general. So yeah, let's kick off with the interview. Welcome to the show, Ian Barsegal.
First of all, thank you for all you said. And yeah, I'm ready, and I've been waiting for this interview. I hope I can help some people with this interview. Yeah,
I think so.
Let's go.
I think so. So you have some interesting, inspiring content on your Instagram, for example. So let's kick off. Who is Ian? How do you present yourself?
How do I present myself? Someone who mostly and only posts calisthenics on social media, but this is not something I want to go with in life. So yeah, social media is only with calisthenics, and there's, you know, some other stuff that I would want to achieve in life, which is has nothing to do with sport. This is how I'd present myself when it comes to this. Yeah.
Okay. So the hard facts, how old are you?
I'm 19. I turned 19 in March. So 1 month ago.
1 month ago. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And now to the impressive stats, in my opinion, how heavy and how tall are you?
So I'm 86 kilograms, and I'm 188 centimeters tall, which is 6'2". And in pounds, I'm 190 pounds heavy.
Wow. Yeah. That's really impressive. If I see your planche progress, but also like your statics with front lever, with everything. So yeah, I'm interested in your story. So how did you get in touch? How did you get in touch with the sport? How did you get in touch with calisthenics, with street lifting, etc.?
Okay, so this is pretty interesting. So I started 4 years ago. So 3 days after I came in Britain, in United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I started the sport 3 days. How it happened is I didn't know any English, and I just went to a park and I see there's a random pull-up bar. Yeah. And there was a guy doing some, you know, freestyle, basically. And I look and I'm okay, that's interesting. And then I heard Russian music, which is good because I speak Russian, but I couldn't speak English. So I was like, okay, let me approach him and see how's everything going. I approach him and he speaks Russian, which is good. And then we start speaking and stuff like this. And now he's my only and best friend, basically.
Oh,
yeah. And sorry if he can see this, but he motivated me, but now I'm better than him. But thanks for the motivation anyway. Yeah.
Okay, so you went full all in. Like when you surpassed his strength, etc., you went all in with motivation, I guess.
Yeah. It just started and I never stopped. I was very into this. But at the same time, I think I'm genetically made for calisthenics, because I was like 8 or 10 years old and I was able to do one-arm muscle-ups without even training.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I used to be like a show-off kid, you know. Mm-hmm. Every time I see a pull-up bar, I went and did some muscle-ups and pull-ups and stuff. So, yeah, I was built for this, let's say, a little bit.
But do you come from a sportive family or like a family which does a lot of sport? Mm.
Actually, my dad also used to do muscle-ups when he was younger. Wow. So again, it's genetics, probably. That's why most people know me for muscle-ups, even though that's like 5% of what I do in my workout, you know? It's just I post more muscle-ups because people enjoy it more. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
But yeah, my dad used to do one-arm pull-ups, muscle-ups. Nothing special because there was no YouTube. There was no sources of like, where you can get good knowledge from. So they were just doing random stuff they see on the internet, but they just thought about, yeah, that's my background when it comes to genetics.
Wow. For me, it's really interesting when you say like I was built for calisthenics and I have like good genetics, because I think a lot of people with your genetics, with your height, would say, yeah, I'm too tall for calisthenics. For me, it's too hard to learn a full planche, a front lever. Yeah. The leverage is too much. Like, how come that you say that you have a good genetics for calisthenics?
You see, I agree 100% that if you're taller and heavier, everything is so much harder in calisthenics. It takes so much longer. But personally, I know this just because I see other people who are tall and heavy struggling. But in my personal experience, I do not feel this disadvantage. So I even progress faster than some short people. You understand? But I think it's mostly because, again, I'm a little bit genetically built for this. And I've got the upper body strength from weighted pull-ups and dips. So I've got the, you know, the strength for this. And also because I've got a lot of knowledge in what I'm doing. So I never do something that I'm not sure about or something that I just watched a couple of YouTube videos about. You understand? Before I start training a skill or actually focusing on something, what I do is I take a budget of money. I pay the best athletes in the world at this movement money, and I talk with them on video chat, and they give me advices. And then from all of their advices, I make my own plan, and that's how I progress fast. Yeah.
Wow. So all in.
Yeah, all in, 100%.
Yeah. Nice. When you started, what were the goals? Was it the muscle up? Was it maybe like a clean muscle up, let's say, because you said that you did some chicken wing muscle ups as a kid. Or was it the genetics? What was the goal in the beginning?
So my goal was actually to only get stronger. Even now, my goal is to just get stronger. So weighted strength in terms of lifting and body weight strength. So I combined both of these things together. That was always my goal. And just getting a good physique and some muscles is just like a side effect, you know, from training hard. I never really wanted this, but it's a cool thing to have, you know, it's very cool. And when it comes to genetics, the advantage I feel that I dominate a lot in is me being able to gain mass and muscles while always staying very lean. And at the same time, eating a lot and then being in surplus the whole time. You understand? So that's the advantage I get from my genetics.
Okay. So for you, it's easy to gain mass, but even like staying ripped during that.
But you see, the thing is, I found out that I have good genetics from other people and from seeing other people train, not from me feeling it. Because when you have a good genetics, you don't know if you have a good genetics or not, you know?
Yeah.
You just train and you see progress. But I also think it's because I actually have knowledge in what I'm doing, and I tried to gain a lot of knowledge before I started doing what I do. And of course, the age, you know, I'm young, like I'm in growth. Everything is not hard for me. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. People are always interested, and we received some questions from a community. When you started off with working out, for how long did you only do basics, or was there like statics from the beginning?
Well, so I started, I think, 4 years and 5 months ago, but seriously training, it was maybe 2 years and a half or 3 years. Because, so I mean, 1 year and a half or 2 years of this was just going once a week to the park, doing some pull-ups, and then going home, which is, you cannot count this as training. So serious training with good knowledge, without injuries, it was 2 years and a half or 3 years. Yeah, something like this. So I don't really have a lot of years in experience, but at the same time, it's a decent progress.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like from the beginning, you did you integrate statics directly into the and complex movements, like also the muscle up into the workout? Or was it, I don't know, the first half of a year, was it only pull-ups and push-ups and dips?
So you see, because I didn't have the knowledge that it's better to do weights first and then hit statics, because this way you will have the body weight strength and you will get the skills easy. So what I did is, while training for weights, again, I combined with statics. It wasn't the best way of combining, but it still worked. You understand? Like now I have the more knowledge. So with my knowledge now, if I would just go back in time and start training, I would have a better progress. But yeah, I did both things. But I would suggest people to do lift weights and get stronger, at least at weighted pull-ups and dips, and then start combining it with body weight skills. This is more effective. Okay. Yeah.
Because it's the same maximum strength that you need, plus the tendons and everything are prepared, or what are the reasons?
Let me say why. So if let's say you want to get 10 seconds plunge, yeah, let me give an example of the characteristics of the person. You are 182 centimeters tall, 75 kilograms. You're a beginner, and you have, let's say, 15% body fat. Mm-hmm. And you can do 5-10 dips. Yeah. If you start only training planche and working on tuck, going through progressions and stuff, it might take you with these characteristics like 1 year, 1 year and a half to achieve the planche. Yeah. But if you, with the same characteristics, start lifting weights and you get to, let's say, 50 kilograms for 10 reps on dips in like 6 months. Yeah. It sounds like it's very quick, but it's possible when you know what you're doing. And just because you just started training, your progress is very fast. So if you achieve this, so which is 5-6 months, and then you train a planche for another 4 months, you can get the planche in 4 months. And you can skip most of the progressions. This is why it's very beneficial. So you get to a good point in weights, in lifting weights. And then after this point, you get all the skills quick, you know, instead of starting with the skills and going a long way for each skill. It's too long and it might take off your motivation because you see very slow progress. You understand? That's why it's more beneficial to lift weights and then do statics.
So you recommend to everyone doing weighted calisthenics?
Yeah. I'm sure it's not even boring. I don't know how people can find it boring. I mean, everyone's different, but personally, I enjoy doing both the same, and I cannot get bored because I do both. You know, like if I get bored of lifting, I can do calisthenics. Mm-hmm. You know, I never get bored of this. So yeah, I would suggest people to do lift weights if they want good progress in calisthenics. So you get good strength in lifting, you get a decent amount of muscles, which is just a good advantage, and you get good progress in bodyweight skills. So why not to do it? I don't understand. Yeah.
Oh, that's a cool approach. And like, let's switch to today. How does your workout schedule nowadays look like?
Okay, so if my followers watch this, they'll be very, very happy because I get this question every day, but I never answer it.
That's cool.
Never. So how my schedule looks right now? Right now it's, let's say day one. I don't work like Monday, Tuesday, Friday, no, because my cycle can be 6 days. My cycle can be 8 days. Training cycle, not steroids. Okay. So day one, it's high intensity push workout. Yeah. Push workout. In a push workout, I do 3-5 attempts. No, I would say 2-3 attempts of full planche, trying to hold as much as I can. For now, it's like 3-4 seconds, decent form. Then I do 2 sets of maximum hold or around maximum hold of straddle planche. Yeah. I don't go very intense because I'm planning to work on strength on weighted dips. So I don't go very intense, so my joints don't get too tired. So yeah, I do this. So when it comes to statics in this workout, I don't go very intense. Yeah, I just do the basics, good training. After this, I do maybe 2-3 sets of handstand pushups. Yeah, I don't do 90 degree handstand pushups, even though I'm pretty good at them. I don't do this. I do only normal push because it involves too much of your biceps, even biceps, when you do 90 degree and it's too much pressure. That's why I don't do it. So I do 2-3 sets of 80% out of my maximum when it comes to doing constant pushups. And after this, I rest 5-10 minutes and I go still do the warm up for weighted dips. So if I plan to lift 95 kilograms for weighted dips for like 5-6 reps, then I warm up with 20 kilograms, do 5-6 reps. Then go on 45 kilograms, do again 4-5 reps. Then I do the last warm up set, which is let's say 70 kilograms for again 4 reps. So I'm not going, I'm not killing myself for warm up, just telling my body that I'm gonna slowly go intense. Yeah, like I mean, and one very important thing that prevents me from having any injuries is while I'm doing the warm up, I'm trying to feel, do I feel like something can pull? Do I feel like something is going wrong? If I feel perfect and I don't feel any muscle pain or anything pulling, that's it. I can go all in and I'm never going to get injured. So it's important to see how you feel. So yeah, if I feel amazing, that's it. I'm doing my workout, being good form, going 90 degree with the back of the shoulder. So this is not 90 degree, you see? When the front of the delt is in line with the elbow. I used to do this before, but no, this is not 90. 90 degree is when the back of the shoulder is 90 degree with the elbow. This is good form, and try to round yourself so you don't open up too much and then get injured. This is very unsafe. I got injured a couple of times like this, so don't do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After this, actually, I don't understand what's the difference between weighted push-ups and bench press. Why would calisthenics people rather do weighted push-ups than bench press? Mm-hmm. Bench press is way better. It's yep. more comfortable. It's easier to slowly add weights with time and progress the overload. Why do people do weighted push-ups? Like, you need to have someone with you so they put the weights on your back and then take them off, which makes a lot of noise. It's so uncomfortable. So I don't understand. So people in the comments, tell me, what's the difference between weighted push-ups? How is weighted push-ups better than bench press? Okay.
I'll be one of these people. What about the core activation? Like doing bench press, you don't have any core work in it. And the beauty of calisthenics lies into like activating the whole body and having to activate the core in every exercise. I'm just
but when you do push-ups, that's the last thing you care about, using your abs and core. Like, you just do push-ups. You don't, like, you use maybe 2% of your core to do the push-ups. You know, so I don't think it's that important. You know, like, people say that when you do full planche, you use core. I don't, like, an average person with an average weak core is enough to train planche. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's shoulders. When you think of the leverage, this is planche. So it's here that you're holding with. So it's scapula, you just do leans. And so you lean into planche. And with time, you try to lean more and more. And then you get it, you know, like, think scientifically and practically what's the best way. Increase the intensity with time and increase the angle. That's it. Everything is easier. And I think I'm taking too long with explaining my training plan. Yeah?
No, it's perfect. I think people are interested in that.
Okay, because it's a lot of details that not many people talk about, but I think mm-hmm. it's important for people to know. So this is the first day. So I started doing bench press. I've never did it in my life, but I started doing it because I feel like calisthenics people skip this part of the chest mm-hmm. in terms of not looking big and making it look proportional, but in terms of it, this muscle being weak, you understand? Mm-hmm. So when you do some movements, you can get injured, or with time later on, you can have some muscle disproportion, which can lead to an injury or a bad posture because, you know, some muscles are strong, but some are weak. Mm-hmm. So I started doing incline bench press. It's more just to work the muscle and to make everything proportional. So yeah, I do bench press only focusing on working the muscle, not focusing on getting very strong. Mm-hmm. I focus on this only when it comes to weighted dips. So yeah, and I train my triceps. That's the only part of the arm I train, because you see, look at the biceps. Yeah, it's dominating. And look at the triceps. There's nothing there. Okay. So I'm trying to work on it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I never train biceps because I feel like it's going to be too much if I train mm-hmm. them as well. I have enough. It's proportional. That's it. That's enough.
Then you can't scratch yourself anymore if there's some this melon in the way.
Actually, I'm pretty flexible. I can touch any parts of the back. I can touch anything. Yeah, good. Maybe later on I'll not be able to. For now, it's fine. It's fine. So this is day one. Mm-hmm. So again, planche, full planche, shoulder planche, handstand push-ups. It sounds like a lot, but I'm doing just a little bit, so I'm not tired. Then I do weighted dips, working on strength. So I do 4 or 5 sets, 3 to 5 reps, but I'm going intense. So it's not that I just take a random weight, do 3-5 reps, and it's all right. Mm-hmm. No, it's when it comes to the progressive overload and stuff like this, I take it very serious. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what you do at the training. It matters how you're going to slowly improve with time. This is why I hate fitness influencers and people who post on social media, do this exercise, 10 to 12 reps. Bro, no. I will fight you in life if I see you. Don't say this stupid stuff. Why? Like, okay, I do 3 to 12 reps. Next training, what? For 5 trainings, I'm going to do the same thing. What's going to change? Nothing. Why do you not explain how to progress the overload? How do I slowly increase the intensity and get stronger with time? They never explain this. They do these videos only for clout. So please never listen. You can do only one exercise, one compound movement. And if you just know how to progress the overload and eat good and recover enough, that's it. You will have 20 times better progress than someone who does 5 exercises and never cares about progressive overload. Yeah? You understand? Yeah. It's like, it's so much to speak about when it comes to progressing overload and stuff like this. And okay, so day 2 is rest.
1 second. Yeah. I have one question for day 1. What do you do if you feel like there is a muscle hurting? Do you stop the training at all, like, or do you just go down with the weight by a lot?
Okay, so this usually happens if I do too much on the statics. Mm-hmm. And let's say I pulled something because I did the movement a bit wrong. And I don't know, I went too much. It rarely happens. But if it happens and I'm going on dips, I do a dip and I'm like, oof, something's wrong. So I feel like if I do a couple more sets, I will pull it or I will rip something. I stop the training and I go home.
Okay.
I go home. And because I'm young, usually in 2-3 days, I'm back. Mm-hmm. So it recovers very quick. So it's better to recover quick than being injured for a couple of months and maybe never getting back to your results. So I stop training, and I suggest people stop training when you feel that you can pull a muscle or you can feel like something's wrong. Stop training and go home and learn about how to warm up properly and recover enough. That's what you do in this situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And okay, day 2 is rest. Yeah. So I don't do pull day on the day 2 because scientifically, chest and shoulders, so the opposite muscle of the chest and shoulders isn't back. Okay. So it's actually only traps. It's traps, the opposite. So if I do the pull day the next day because my chest is dead and it's very sore, I can still pull something in the chest when I do weighted pull-ups. I can pull something, mm-hmm. you know. So that's why I give 1 day rest, you know. So 1 day rest, then the next the day after, so day 3, I do front lever. I do 3 sets of front lever pull-ups. I do 1 or 2 reps. For now, 1-2 reps. When I'll get stronger, I'll do more reps. But for now, it's this. After this, I do 2 sets of maximum holds. Are you write it down for the future?
Yeah, for my training.
Okay. And yeah, after that, I do 5 sets of 4 or 3 reps of muscle-ups. I don't do more reps because it's pointless. I work on explosive strength and getting them clean, you know? So that's why I don't understand people who max out on muscle-ups. Mm-hmm. You want to get it clean, work on them being clean. Don't do many reps, because if you do 2 sets of max now, the 3rd set, you will do them so dirty because you're too tired. So low reps, more sets. That's why I tell people that's literally the best existing way on this planet to train muscle-ups, okay? No one can tell me anything different. I've seen enough in my experience and I've talked with enough people to understand what's the best. So this is the best way. But again, it depends on the person, because it depends how many muscle-ups can you do, how can you do them, what level you on. So it depends on a lot of things.
And maybe it also depends. Yeah, maybe it also depends on the goal. So like your goal is more on maximum strength, but if somebody's goal is to do like 25 muscle-ups or 20 muscle-ups, like really endurance athlete, would you still recommend like a lot of sets and low reps?
Well, but at the competitions, they count only perfect reps, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to work on this first. But you see, let's say you can do 2 dirty muscle-ups right now. Yeah, that's a maximum. Mm-hmm. You, let's say it took you 1 year or 1.5 years to get 2 or 3 reps, but perfect. Just because you can do them easy and very clean, you can probably do 15 clean already, because 2 or 3 are easy. Understand? And you probably do some pull-ups and weighted pull-ups on the side, which increase your endurance in the back and biceps. So you can probably already do 15 reps. Same with me. I never work an endurance back and probably do a decent amount of muscle ups in a row. Yeah. Yeah. So I would still suggest to work on getting it clean.
Cool.
And then endurance. Yeah. And yeah, this is day three. Day four is legs. Yeah. I do very heavy session, only focusing on getting my legs bigger. I don't care how high I can jump. I don't care about just training them for fun. I care about them looking proportional, because that's the biggest problem with calisthenics people. People complain about legs. Oh, your legs are small. That's why you can do stuff. Not mine. Mine are proportional. That's the main thing I do with them. I actually had a leg day yesterday. So, you know, but yeah, I do squats, heavy squats. I do front squats, which is more for the front part of the legs. I do leg press and walking lunges and curls. So I go very intense because it's a bigger muscle. That's why I do more compound movements. It's the biggest muscle in the body. Not for calisthenics people, I guess. But yeah, it's the biggest muscle in the body, and you have to add at least one or two exercises more, yeah, to kill it properly. Yeah, this is day four. And after day four, now is day five for me. So yesterday was legs, day five. I was supposed to do medium or light intensity planche workout, but because it's the first day back after a lockdown in UK, I feel more muscle pain than usually. So I feel like it's going to go very wrong if I do my session today. So this week I'll go more light in terms of statics. So I'm not training today. I was supposed to, but I'm not training again because I listen to my body. And probably tomorrow I think I'll feel the same because it takes longer to recover, but I will see. I will see. Everything will be perfect in 2-3 weeks anyway. Now it's just getting back, you know. So I was supposed to do a light, medium intensity workout. When I say medium intensity, it's not the exercises are easier. Let's say my maximum holding planche is 6-8 seconds. I do 4 seconds holding instead of 6-8 seconds, which is 50% intensity. I do the same exercises, just not holding as long and not going as intense, but I do the same exercises. And yeah, on a light day, when it's light day intensity, I do 1 or 2 seconds instead of, you know, 8 or 6-8. So it's just the intensity is lower. Same exercises, lower intensity. Yeah. And I think then there's day eight. I think it's just like more medium intensity workout, one more light intensity, and then repeat the cycle. So go back to day one. Yeah. So I lift weights once a week, I think. Once every 7 days. Yeah.
Lifting weights really means dumbbells for you, right? Just to make sure.
No. I mean, so lifting weights is weighted pull-ups.
Okay.
And so on my pull day, I do weighted pull-ups and barbell rows. Mm-hmm. So like, again, same question with weighted push-ups. What's the difference between Australian pull-ups and barbell rows? I can tell you the difference. Same movement, same muscles, but barbell rows is more effective. Because Australian pull-ups, it's so uncomfortable to do them weighted. So you progress the overload. But barbell rows is very easy because you just add more weights on the barbell and keep going. That's it. So again, I will start doing them. So it's my first week doing bench press and barbell rows. Again, same reason, disproportions, training my, you know, different muscles of the back so I don't get injured one day. So yeah, I do barbell rows. For people that don't know, is this that you lean, and you do this stuff with an Olympic bar. This is barbell rows. And yeah, that's the session done on the pull day, by the way. Yeah, that's kind of my workout plan right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for going into detail. I think, yeah,
no problem.
I wrote everything down so I can start the cycle tomorrow. yeah, okay. Something that I'm interested in with your physique, with your training background, etc. Tell us your planche journey. How did it go? How were the beginnings? You said that your usual approach is to contact some pros in this field. What advice did you get? What challenges did you have? Like overall planche journey.
Okay, so first, for those who don't know, my planche journey started, I think, 5 months ago. So when I just started training, my planche level was 1 or 2 seconds hold, but with not my legs not straight, not clean. So it was a dirty hold. That was the day one.
Of straddle.
And now I can hold full planche for 3-4 seconds with decent form. So it's parallel to the ground, decent form. And straddle planche for 6-8 seconds again, legs straight, everything parallel to the ground. So I progressed like this in 4 months because first of all, I had a good skill preparation. So I was decent at handstand pushups and weighted dips. So I had very strong shoulders. And I think in general, again, like I said, I'm built kind of for this movement because I never heard a person as tall like me and as heavy like me progressing so fast. I didn't hear even short people progressing so fast. So I'm a bit impressed. So what I did is I texted, I think how many? I texted 4 athletes, 4 pretty heavy athletes, pretty tall, not taller like me, but a bit shorter, but yeah, they can hold Maltese, they can hold full planche, and ask them some advices. And they said that for my level, like I already thought, doing attempts will be the most effective exercise. So that's the exercise one that I'm going to do. So day one, I'm doing, because it was lockdown, I trained planche more often. I didn't lift weights. So I progressed fast because, again, I only did statics. So day one, it's doing 5-7 attempts of straddle planche. Okay. That's the exercise I did. And by the way, let me also talk about something important. It's injuries. I know literally every single person who does planche that has bad wrists or injured wrists or shoulders. I never did. Okay. Because I know how to warm up. So let me actually show you, if you want, the best warm up for wrists before planche. Only one exercise. Okay. It's a dynamic stretch. Okay, I've got the bar right here. So the bar is on the floor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You grab it. You just, so like, go like this, lean forward until you feel pressure. Mm-hmm. Forward, back. You do 3 sets like this. And on the first set, you go just a little bit until you feel a bit of pressure. Then on the second set, you lean a bit more. So you feel a bit more pressure. On the third set, you lean a bit more than on the first 2 sets. So then that's it. When you lean into planche, because your wrists are stretched enough and warmed up enough, you will not feel any pressure. I don't feel any pressure on my wrists because of this warm up. Yeah, and of course, before I do my actual planche attempts, I do same thing, increasing the intensity. So I do planche leans, very light planche leans. First set is very light. Second set, I lean a little bit more than in the first set. Again, holding it for a little bit. Just telling my body that I'm going to go very intense soon. And in the third last set, I lean 60% of or 70% of my actual tension in the muscle when I do the planche attempts. You understand? So it's 30%, 60%, and then 70, 80%, and then 100%, which is planche attempts. This is the best warm-up you can ever do for planche and any skills. Increase the, do the same, use the same muscles, same angle, but increase the intensity. That's it. That's the best warm up for any skills you see in calisthenics. Just think of the exercise. What's anatomically the exercise that you use the same muscles and stuff, and that's it. Okay, so and I do planche attempts, and after planche attempts, I think I was doing what was I doing? I was doing negatives. So I would go into handstand, go straddle, and try to go slowly down. This is second best exercise for planche, for straddle planche, for my level. And then I think I was doing 2 sets of planche leans, but I lean that much so I can barely hold for 6 seconds. You know, so it's like when I do planche, I was able to hold for like 2-3 seconds, which is very intense. So I was leaning not as much, a little bit less, so I can barely hold for 6-8 seconds. That's the 2 sets, just like a finisher. And that was my very intense workout. Okay, so that was the day one, very intense. After this, 2 days rest. Yeah, I don't do it every day because it doesn't make sense. You need to recover, right? People recover. You don't need to do stuff every day. Because it's very intense, especially. I need 2 days. So I recovered 2 days, and then I do same thing, like I said, but instead of going 100% intensity, I do the same exercises, but not as much. So it's a medium intense workout. Same things. I also do straddle plush attempts, but I don't try to hold as much as I can. So a little bit less than my maximum. And this is medium workout. So after 2 days, I do a medium workout, then 1 day rest, and I do a light workout. Again, on the light workout, I do some bands, you know, just holding it until I feel a bit of pressure because it's a light workout. So using the same muscles, but not putting much pressure on them. This is light workout. After the light workout, I rest 1 day, and then I go back to very intense training. Yeah, this is the most perfect way for me to train for my level and stuff, from what I found out, because again, I listened to different people's opinion and I made my own. And the progress, as you can see, is very good. Yeah, this is with plunge.
Wow. And did it like go linearly, or did you progress quickly in the beginning and then it slowed down? Like how was the progress?
The progress was always, I always saw progress. So every training, every intense training, so which is once a week, I saw that I can hold it for 1 or 2 seconds more, which is very fast progress. Some people train it for 1 year and they don't see progress. Mm-hmm. I actually saw progress every week. So once a week, I saw progress. I hold it for longer. I hold it cleaner. Maybe I hold it the same amount like the last week, but this time is the same amount of time, but cleaner. So something is improving the whole time. Yeah, something like this. So I had a good progress the whole time. But right now, it's not as fast because I try to combine with things. Again, I'm trying to remember, okay, how do I actually combine it with weighted calisthenics to progress at both? So it's a lot of stuff going on, but I'm gonna progress. I think I will get to 10-15 seconds full plunge in the next couple of months, or maybe 1 year. We'll see how it goes. I'll take my time with this. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. What are the most common mistakes that you see people doing in plunge workouts?
So not only in plunge workouts, in general, overtraining mm-hmm. is the most common thing that I see people do. The most common also thing is people don't care about progressive overload. Like that's the most important thing. You can get the worst exercise for plunge, but if you know how to progress or the overload, you will get the plunge faster than someone doing the most effective exercises, but without progressing the overload. So without having the knowledge about this. Yeah, this is, I think, the most common, if I'm thinking of it. No, actually the most common mistake is people not having knowledge about stuff they do. So diet and training, they don't gain knowledge. They are lazy to gain knowledge. That's the most common thing. Me, I was so passionate about knowing everything before I get started. So I know that when I do something, that's how it should be done. You know, I'm not making mistakes. That was the main thing. So people just don't be lazy. And go for it. There's so much information on YouTube. Just open YouTube or pay athletes. So yeah, go work 40 hours a week, make the money, pay the athletes, and gain knowledge. That's it. Yeah.
Sounds simple.
These are the mistakes.
Cool. Apps. Do you have these apps because of genetics, or like do you work a lot on them? How come that you have like these apps?
These nuts. Okay. Yeah, these apps. So it's genetics. So I have them since I was 8 years old. Yeah. And the one thing about abs that I want to say to people, I don't believe in this thing that training abs will change them. Like I know it's a muscle, but from my experience, again, talking to people and everything, they say definition will change, but I don't believe in this. I'll give you a quick example of myself. I trained abs for 8 months just because of my lower back injury. Imagine, to heal my lower back injury, I had to train abs, and it actually helped. So I had very good abs before I started training them, so before I got injured, and then 8 months first. I've got a very good genetics in all the ways. Second, I had a very good diet. Third, I started training abs. So this, I was like proving to people if this works or not. Yeah, I'm the best example for proof, I would say. I trained 8 months, and guess what? After 8 months, same thing. same abs, same depth, same definition is genetics and body fat percentage. These are the two things that you need to focus on. So if you don't have abs, it's because you eat too much. Stop eating like a pig and you will have abs. Easy, easy.
Yeah. Okay. So you think nutrition is important for your performance?
You mean for abs or in general?
In general.
Oh, yeah. It's very important. At the beginning, because of good genetics, I thought that only hard work is important because I was progressing by eating, you know, normal foods. But then with time, I realized that nutrition is very important. People saying that, oh, I worked hard, that's why I achieved this. Working hard is the easiest thing ever. How can you want to do something without wanting to do it? Like, I don't think there's people who work out, but they don't want to work out. You know, working hard is the easiest part. Easy. It's very easy. I work hard because I want to work out and I enjoy it. The hardest part is diet. So I think 2 or 3 meals a day, it's something that it's fine to eat, but I don't really want to eat it, but I eat it every single day just because I have to eat it for a good progress. You understand? Mm-hmm. So diet is what shows that you're determined and actually dedicated, you know? So diet is very hard. It's very hard. And it's very important, like I said. So you need to know first. I think there's an app. I think there's on Google, there's an app where you find out for your genetics, for your activity, how many calories you need to take a day. Because again, everyone's different. But the average is 2,500 just to maintain your weight. So go on that website. Ah, I forgot. It's like, I think it's Sterling Fury. And they ask you about like different genetic stuff about yourself. And then you find out how much you need to take. Yeah, it's something to do with this.
Maybe you can send it to me afterwards so I can put it in the description.
I can try find it. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, it's like calories. Calories are, when it comes to gaining weight, if you care about gaining weight, it's calories. It's not the food you eat, it's the amount of calories you take. Okay. Quick example. You have one person that eats only healthy foods. Yeah. But at the end of the day, he will take 3,000 calories. Yeah. There's a person who doesn't eat any healthy foods, only fast food. But at the end of the day, the amount of calories is 3,000. They will both gain the same amount of weight. But the difference is that the person who eats healthy will gain a healthy weight. So like will not have any problems with heart or liver or kidneys. But the second person will gain the same amount of weight, but they will probably die from a heart attack if they keep going. You understand? Mm-hmm. You gain the same amount of weight, but you put too much pressure on your body and it will turn very bad.
So eating the same amount like these two people, if the one eats healthy, the other one doesn't, they both gain the same body fat percentage?
Yeah. Yeah. From what I found out, like my, let's say I went to college about this subject and I learned, and my teacher was a nutritionist. So he actually has a master's degree. And from what he told me, yeah, I think so. Yeah. This is how it works. So it's all calories. It's all about calories. It's not about protein, fats and stuff. It's calories when it comes to gaining or losing weight. That's why people talk about surplus or deficit calories, because that's the main thing. They talk about it for a reason. You understand? So yeah, calories is the most important thing when it comes to losing or gaining weight. Yeah.
How does your nutrition look like today?
So my nutrition is usually 4 meals, and they all medium to big meals. And overall, at the end of the day, I think I eat around 3,500 calories. Yeah, this amount. I would eat more, but I can't. Like, I'm like, shit, it's too much. You know, I've had enough. And yeah, this is the amount I eat for me to recover perfectly, to feel amazing. Like I feel always energetic. Yeah. And I eat in the morning. Usually it's I blend the food because it's also before workout, so the digestion is faster because your body doesn't have to try to digest the big foods that you didn't chew properly. So it digests fast. And what I eat is porridge in a blender with frozen fruits, frozen berries, strawberries, and with one apple. So I cut the apple, throw in there, one banana, and yeah, just blend that around and try to add like 200 grams of or 150 of porridge. Yeah, so I get all the carbs, I get this amount of carbs, a bit of protein, there's almost no protein in porridge, and a lot of vitamins. So the first meal is to give me a lot of energy before workout. So it's vitamins. I literally got all the vitamins I need in the day just from one meal, because you see how many fruits, berries and strawberries have vitamin C, and then the apple has some other vitamins, banana has the other vitamins. So I get all the vitamins in the first meal. Second meal is after workout. I'll tell people it does not matter what you eat straight after workout. Okay. There's not such a thing that like protein window, you know, that people talk about. So protein window is that in the first 30 minutes of the workout, you need to eat a lot of protein so it goes straight into the muscle. No, no. So there's no, so if you eat 30 minutes after workout or you eat 6 hours after workout, you will have the same progress. Okay. There's studies that show this. So there's no studies that show that if you eat quick after workout, you'll have a better progress. So it's all in facts, you know? So yeah, just eat whenever. Eat 1 hour after training or 2 hours, and it does not matter what you eat straight after. Just eat a decent food with carbs, fats, and proteins. Everything is important. It's not all about protein. Yeah. So just eat everything. Your body needs everything. Yeah, I think I'm talking about the right thing. Yeah, I think I'm going off the subject a bit.
Yeah, no, it's cool. No, it's good.
Yeah. Trying to teach people something.
Nice. Yeah, supplements. What's your opinion on supplements?
Overrated.
Overrated. Okay.
Overrated. Overrated. Focus on your diet. Again, learn about diet, learn about what foods, how much food, and that's enough. You don't need supplements. I tried creatine because everyone's like, oh, creatine, 20% is strength. Nothing changed. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Same progress. Same progress. People have progress because of creatine, because their diet is very bad. So at least something is enough. At mm-hmm. least they get enough creatine into their diet from everything else. So it helps a little bit. But yeah, studies do show that your strength increases by 5 to 10% if you take creatine. So I think that's the only supplement that is good. But it doesn't work with me, so I don't see a point. But there is a supplement that I take. There is a supplement, which is calcium and spirulina, if you know about spirulina.
Yeah, it's like some,
yeah, from sea. So it's something that you don't really get in foods. And it has a lot of vitamins that you don't really get from foods and minerals. So these are the two things that probably no one talks about, but I do take them. Calcium, I take calcium because I've got, you know, like after training, my elbows are sore. And it's like a bit painful. And calcium, for some reasons, it makes me recover faster when it comes to joint pain and elbow pain. So it's a cool thing. Again, it's hard to get enough from normal foods because you do get it from milk. But if you drink milk, you do get enough calcium. But there's so many bad things coming from milk. So it's better not to drink them, even if you are not lactose intolerant, you know. It's bad. Cow milk was made for cows, not for humans. You know, why do you not drink humans' milk? You know, this one is made for you. It's like, yeah, no, it's like, it's a long subject again. I don't want to go too deep because I don't know that much, but I know that it's not good. It's not good.
And you know what works for you, because it seems that you tested a lot and that you know your body.
When it comes to diet, I think it's not about like someone needs to eat this food because it's better for him. Someone needs to eat that food. No, I think it's like they can eat same foods like me, but they can just reduce the portion or increase the portion. Because let's say if you have a fast metabolism, you can eat same foods like me, but eat a bit more than me, you know? Or if you have a slow metabolism, so you gain fat easy, then eat the same foods, but decrease the portions. Yeah, this is how you're going to get good results. Because in my diet, you get all the proteins, all the fats, all the carbs, all the vitamins that you need. So you feel amazing and you feel energetic. And I do eat fast food and bad foods like once every 3-4 days or 2 days. It depends. Yeah. So 2 days or 3 days I eat healthy, and then 1 day I can eat more crisps maybe or pizza or whatever I want. Because I'm young and I've got good genetics, so I digest everything and it doesn't affect me. Yeah.
Good for you.
I eat junk food as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice. The question also from the community came, do you take steroids?
No, I don't take them. You can see that I'm always in my best shape. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, you can put me in a basement for a couple of months. If I would take steroids, I would lose muscles very quick. If I don't, I would stay the same. I'll stay the same. I'll stay the same. Like, literally, I think when I'll get more famous, more people will maybe make YouTube videos about me. Oh, he's lying, he's natural and stuff. I'm ready for it. Whenever you want, come to London. Pay for the drug test, and I'll take any drug test that you want. I don't care when, what, how much blood you want to take from me, where you want to take it from. It's fine. Take it, and I'm gonna pass everything, unless my mom puts steroids in the food. But I don't think she does this stuff secretly. You know, secretly doing something. Nah. Yeah, I'm always ready.
Do you see it as a compliment if somebody tells you that you? Because I guess you get the question as well.
Yeah, of course. And imagine I get so many people telling me this and I'm only 19. Mm-hmm. Imagine me in like 3 years or two more years. Okay, so many times. So I think I'll make, I'll ask someone to come, or maybe a YouTuber will come and take drug tests with me, you know, just like to see if I'm taking something or not. But I think even after this, people will not believe, you know, you'll think, oh, it's fake, or something's planned, it's fake. I'll take as many as people want to show them that everything is safe, you know, I'm not taking anything. Yeah.
What did change in your life since your like social media are working so well? Did something change? Do you get recognized on the street, or like, is there something that changed?
So as a person, I did not change like in a bad way. So like, oh, if someone tries to talk to me, I'm like, oh, I've got high ego and stuff. And I see them as, I set myself higher than others. No, I treat everyone the same and I respect everyone, you know. And if the best thing you can do, if you see me training or you see me somewhere and you recognize me, is coming up to me and tell me that you saw me, that you know me. That's the best feeling I get. Like, it's so, like, people recognize you for your achievements in sport. That's the best feeling ever. Honestly, and I do get recognized. So I went gym 3 times, and 3 times people recognized me. In total, 6 people.
Wow.
In the gym. In the first session, one dude was like, "Oh, are you? I know you." And I was like, "Oh, how?" And he was like, "Oh, your motivational videos inspire me so much. I've seen you on Instagram so much." I was like, "Whoa, that's amazing to hear." Yeah, I was so happy. He made my day. And the same day, I went do some other exercises. So I was doing my session and 2 friends, so 2 dudes came up to me and they're like, "Oh, you look way bigger in life." Like, "Oh, you look way bigger in life. You motivate me with what you do." And I was like, "Phew." Actually, I was very happy. I was very happy. Yeah. So yeah, it's amazing when people recognize me. It feels really good.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, we're slowly coming to an end. Last question of the big part of the interview. What are the goals for this year? What are your next steps? What can we expect 2021 from Jan?
2021. So this is because the year just started. Well, improving everything I do. So you see me do planche, you see me do front lever, you see me do weighted calisthenics. If the lockdown will start, then the weighted calisthenics progress will go down because I will not do it, because which is very sad. But if everything goes very good, I plan to achieve, so my maximum on weighted dips right now, it's 120 kilograms for 1 rep, and I plan to get to 140 145. For weighted pull-ups, my maximum is 85 kilograms. I plan to get 105, I guess. And for muscle-ups, it's weird. I think I reached the limit.
Wow.
In terms of doing it clean. Mm-hmm. Like, I need someone as tall and as heavy like me who can do them way better than me. That's when I'm going to get motivated and try to actually go higher than I am. But I see, like, I think I don't really know anyone for my height and weight who can do muscle ups way better than me. You know, like, oof.
But like yeah. Frederick, who is doing our product development at Coronation.
Yeah, I know.
He's like at the German Championship 2 years ago before the lockdown. He did like the 45 kg clean, and he's weighing 98 kg and it's 1.90 meters. So maybe this.
When it comes to weighting, there's a lot of athletes who beat me, but I'm talking about explosive clean bodyweight muscle ups. Because I'm not into weight lifting.
Okay.
So I know people, I know Vitaly, you know, mm-hmm. Vitaly Feshuk.
Yeah, Feshuk,
he can do 55 kilograms muscle ups,
yeah.
But his body weight clean muscle ups aren't as explosive. You understand?
Makes sense.
He's very good at weighted, like, and he's still amazing at body weight, of course, but I'm saying like he doesn't do them as smooth and as clean, like, you know. Yeah, so that's why I'm not that motivated. Who do you think does perfect muscle ups?
Yeah, yeah. So your goal is to have like 1, 2, 3 perfect, clean, extremely explosive muscle up, extreme.
I already do, but I'm trying to improve
okay.
more. So like, I think, yeah, 4 or 5 perfect muscle ups. I think what I'm trying to achieve this year is doing muscle ups like this without dip and without keep at the same time. So not using legs.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times. Right now I can do 2 times. Yeah. Wow. So 2 times muscle ups like this. And my goal is 4 or 5. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Get it. Sounds like a good goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And muscle ups, yeah. It sounds like a good goal. And probably I'll get into weighted muscle ups. Maybe. I don't like it. I find it like a bit weird mm-hmm. in weighted muscle ups. And it's gonna be very hard to add them into my training routine, you know, because it's a big thing to add, because you do weighted pull-ups, weighted dips, and you're going to add weighted muscle-ups and then push. It's too much. Mm-hmm. It's too much. So I'll see. I'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
We always have some quick questions, quick answers at the end. Pizza mm-hmm. or burger?
Pizza.
Pizza. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Cat.
Cat. Do you have a favorite location for holidays, a country, a city?
Anywhere, not London. Yeah, I still didn't explore the world enough. Yeah.
Okay. What are some athletes that inspire you?
I can't really say the name, but it's athletes who are same height and weight like me. I don't know why I get so motivated, who can do way better than me at some things. But it's hard to find them. So for now, it's I think I can say a couple of athletes who, I actually can't. I think there's one, it's Vitaly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he motivates me in terms of like full planche, weighted dips, weighted pull-ups.
So the it's complete, like, complete yeah, weighted yeah. and statics and heavyweight.
You know Bucky?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bucky. So I think Vitaly and Bucky, they motivate me because they are complete athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't respect people who do only planche and they are amazing at planche only, you know. That's like they just train every day. Like it's nothing that special. But combining weighted calisthenics with bodyweight calisthenics is something I find impressive, especially if you're good at both. So my goal is to get close to these beasts, you know. Nice. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I've got time. I've got the time, genetics, and knowledge for this. So it's just, it's coming, basically. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Patience. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite book that you want to recommend?
I'm reading one right now, but it's not to do with sport. Yeah.
Is it a topic that you want to share, or is it something?
Well, I never really shared about what I want to do in life, and I will not. So yeah, but it's to do basically with investing and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
It's something to do with this.
Cool.
But I know that I've got no books to recommend to people because no one's interested probably in this. Yeah.
Okay.
Something like this.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Favorite movie. Yes, but I forgot the name of it. But I know, I know one that I find like really amazing. It's my second favorite, and I know the name of it. It's Baby Driver.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. That one, I really love it.
Yeah. Favorite song right now?
Favorite song? Okay. It's my favorite artist is Miyagi. If people know it, he's a Russian singer. He's got like a very good style. I can never get tired of his songs. Yeah, Miyagi, Russian cool. singer. Yeah.
The best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
I've never been to calisthenics events, and I'll probably never go.
Like no competition, no competition ambition one day.
No, I don't think I'll go to any competitions. Even if I'll achieve a good level enough to go to competitions. No, I think most athletes go there to make some money, but that's not a lot of money. You don't even make anything.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to get? 500 pounds?
Yeah. Like I don't, do you think it's really because of the money? I don't think so. Because like most of the competitions are without prize money nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like if I will go to a weighted competition, I'll have to train weighted more than body weight. But I just want to do what I love, not focus on something because of some event, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, probably I will go to Ukraine one day where a lot of different athletes will meet up and a lot of people just to see some different people, you know, talk to different athletes. I think it will be cool to meet some people that motivated me when I started training. And now I'm actually on a similar level like them. That would be very cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I would want to meet some athletes. Yeah.
If you'd have to decide skills or reps?
Weighted reps.
So you would give up the planche, the front lever?
Honestly, I train skills mostly because they look good.
Okay.
Not because I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
the social media life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the final question: what's your message to the calisthenics community? Something that you want to tell the listeners?
Something I want to tell the listeners. What do I want to tell people? Discipline over motivation when it comes to achieving something in sport. That's it. Discipline over motivation. And please, I don't like when people ask me questions. How do I start with calisthenics? How do I get stronger? No, if you asking me this question, this means that first, you didn't have the motivation and the dedication to just go and make some research by yourself. This is such a common question that there's so many answers for and good answers on YouTube or Google. So it shows me that if I help you, you will 100% not do what I tell you, because you had so many resources and you didn't do it. Like, why would you do it if I tell you? You're not going to do it. That's why I don't help people who ask questions like this. Yeah. Yeah. Just please your own research. You've got time. You've got everything in this life. Just do it. Yeah. That's it.
Cool. So yeah. How can people get in touch with you? What are the links that people will find underneath this video?
Get in touch with me. Okay, I'll be honest. Maybe right now I'll still answer and help some people, but soon I will keep up with social media, but I will stop replying to anyone. I feel like I helped thousands in my life enough to just move on. So I don't think I will actually help some, but I would appreciate if people want to see my journey and just get motivated by my content. But I'll just be, I'm an honest person. I don't think I'll reply to most of the DMs.
Okay.
So yeah. But I really appreciate this interview with you. It was really like good to tell people these kind of things. Yeah.
True. And there was a lot of depth and a lot of content in it. So yeah, we will put your social media links in the description so people can find you. And yeah, we're coming to an end, Jan. Thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for making space for this interview and sharing your knowledge, your experience, your training experience. And yeah, thanks before you can end the episode, I want to say thank you to everyone listening to this, an interview over 1 hour. Again, thanks to everyone who sticked with us till the end, because that's insane. That's really cool. So if you enjoyed this, give it a thumbs up. It really helps out. And Jan, you can end the episode. Thanks again for your time.
That's it. Perfect. Good luck to everyone. And thank you for this interview again. That's it. Bye.